All right, happy Friday. Welcome to Cellular Healing TV, episode 83. How are you, Dr. Pompa?
Doing well, thank you.
Great, awesome. Well, we have a really, really huge topic for you guys today. We were just talking, this might have to be a two-part show because there is just a lot of information here. And we will be talking about fertility challenges, hormone dysregulation, how to have a healthy pregnancy, and just kind of a lot of the factors that are involved with reproductive health. So huge topic, and I know Dr. Pompa, you're really excited to talk about it because it's something that affects so many couples today. So it's huge, and it's really exciting. So I guess we're just going to kind of jump in, and anything you want to start with before we jump in?
Well, you know, we had a past show. Leah was on our show, and she was one of my clients. And of course, you know, she was not able to get pregnant, and, you know, during working with her for other reasons. We weren't working with her to actually get pregnant, but she got pregnant, right? So that's what happens when you fix the cell. I've had that happen many, many, many times. And I know some of my clients watch this show and they're probably raising their hand going, yes, that was me. Because I can think of like at least five right now that happened literally within the last year. And not one I actually targeted for infertility. But all of a sudden, after years of, you know, not being able to get pregnant, they get pregnant. And sometimes it's met with great joy, and sometimes it's like, oh my gosh, I wanted to finish detoxing, right? So I know that if they're watching, you know, they would relate to that. So yeah, I mean, you know, it brings then to the topic, obviously, is there's a solution so there's some things that we do that are just part of healing the body that obviously have an amazing impact on infertility. So we'll talk about that.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, so let's backtrack a little bit and just talk about the reason why so many couples are suffering with infertility issues. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just hormone dysregulation, a lot of issues out there with hormones and couples just not being able to conceive naturally. So can you talk about some of these underlying causes and just kind of the reasons behind it?
Yeah, and I think you'll pull some out for me to talk about. But, you know, let me just talk very generally right now in the sense that, you know, hormone dysregulation is the epidemic within the epidemic. You know, I always say that, look, weight loss resistance is more about, you know, hormones than it is even the food we eat, right? We talk so much about hormone problems, you know, just, you know, hormones are really, you know, how things communicate, gland to gland, cell to cell. I mean, hormones do all the communication. I mean, it's remarkable, you know, what these hormones do and how they communicate to our cells and, you know, carry these messages. You know, so right now we are just under hormonal attack because of the, and it's, again, it's not just one thing. If you look at at last week's show on anti-aging, right, we talked about these big things that are aging us prematurely. Well, you could say, well, these are the things that are causing hormone dysregulation, right? Elevated glucose and insulin, you know, driving cellular inflammation. Of course, toxins, bad fats. I mean, you know, when we look at all of our topics, this is what's driving cellular inflammation. These are where the hormone receptors are. And therefore, we have hormone dysregulation because of the receptor to the hormone. You know, I think one of the big mistakes right now is that everyone's just throwing more hormones at it, you know, and trying to give more hormones. And, you know, there seems to be a little balance in the beginning. Then, of course, you know, that it's then you're down the stream and trying to balance things and things are getting more out of balance. You're never going to win that game, right? The analogy we love to give is like shouting at our kids, you know, at first, oh my gosh, you know, they're fearful, they're listening, and then they start not hearing you at all. That's what's happening to our cells with the bombardment of trying to do different hormones. But, you know, it really is a cellular issue, you know, and I can even be more specific. You know, it's your pituitary hypothalamus in the center of the brain is what runs your whole endocrine system. And oftentimes we see people getting pregnant, you know, when we start addressing that system with upstream detox. So, you know, we've talked about how true cellular detox is getting up to the cell. And then there's three phases, a prep phase, a body phase, and then a brain phase. Well, if we look at the studies on where toxins really accumulate, especially heavy metals, it's in the pituitary hypothalamus. Well, look, remember the hormones that we need for pregnancy, like luteinizing hormone, LH, FSH. You know, these are the hormones you know, that really are communicated from this pituitary hypothalamus and, you know, really directing, you know, the hormones down below. So, you know, then that affects progesterone and estrogen. And, you know, so yeah, if these systems here, these glands are not functioning because they're highly toxic, according to studies, then, I mean, nothing below is going to work. It's the control tower. So, you know, that's just one, you know, of the problems. Then, of course, we have, you know, certain toxins that attach to the cell that drive autoimmune. And much of infertility is autoimmune related, where we're attacking, you know, certain things. Matter of fact, women's immune system can even attack the sperm in many of these cases because of autoimmune and even allergies to mercury. And I'll say this about a fact here, because we're talking a little bit about toxins and mercury, which this is a big topic. You know, when we look at infertility, it's known that men, 1/3 of all men with infertility have high mercury levels. Well, if we look at women, it's, you know, 1/4, 1/4 of all women with infertility have high mercury levels. It's because there's so many ways that mercury can affect fertility. Hypothalamus pituitary is where studies show that most of it accumulates, right? That's why we have to get to the brain and in true cellular detox. Also, I had said that many women have allergies, make allergies to it, and they're finding that, you know, where is the mercury? We find it in men that have elevated mercury. We find it in the sperm, in the ejaculate, and particularly the sperm. So, I mean, that number one is a problem for the sperm. Number two, the women's own immune system can attack it. And number three, we know that it affects the certain minerals that are needed even for the sperm to swim, which is called motility. It affects selenium, it affects manganese, it affects zinc, which really are all about a healthy sperm. So mercury affects those. And other metals like lead is too, affects those directly. So, you know, bam, you know, just how prevalent is this? So there it is. There's kind of an overview, and there's so much more.
Yeah, huge. And I think so many people, when they're dealing with infertility issues, don't think about heavy metals as being an underlying source of, you know, being an issue to impact their fertility. And and I know that heavy metals, you said in the past, really affect the thyroid gland as well, which is also intimately connected with fertility. So can you talk a little bit about that specific connection?
Yeah, I mean, the thyroid, we call it the canary in the coal mine because it's so sensitive to toxins. Matter of fact, I would say it's the first, you know, gland organ system, if you will, that we see affected, you know, where we see people getting cold all the time, right? Their hair starts falling out, their energy drops, they can't lose weight the same or keep weight off. You know, I mean, so we see the temperature dysregulation, right? So, you know, and we know that toxins are really the factor. And I give five toxins that really affect the thyroid and therefore affect infertility. Let's see if I can get them, right? You know, bromine, chlorine, bromine, by the way, is they put it in things like, you know, energy drinks and Gatorade, and, you know, you wouldn't believe where you're getting bromine. But the number one way is flame retardants that are in new computers, furniture. I mean, they use it, you know, in everything. Brominated hot tubs and pools, and I mean, bromine's everywhere. Then we deal with chlorine and fluoride. These, all of these things that we're exposed to so much today, they literally compete with the same receptors as iodine, and therefore an iodine is, you know, we need it to make thyroid hormone. So, you know, there's a major link with those chemicals. We know that that's been in the literature a long time. Of course, we talked about heavy metals. Heavy metals attach even to the thyroid receptor because there's a selenium receptor, these thyroid receptors. And that means that, you know, selenium is needed to make these hormones connect. It's part of that process. Well, you know, there's a charge thing, whereas heavy metals and selenium, one's negative, one's positive, and they attract one another. So selenium attracts mercury. Well, guess what? Mercury ends up on the receptor, and then that drives an autoimmune, Hashimoto's, etc. So, you know, that's an issue for those chemicals. And then, let's see, I named three or four already, but, you know, there's, come on, Meredith, help me out. Let's see, what thyroid. I have these top five here, but, oh, pesticides. Thank you. Yeah, pesticides. or the link. Matter of fact, one of the studies there is that women who live with men who work around pesticides have like a 70% increase, in thyroid conditions. I mean, that's a huge number. You know, that's a huge number. So, you know, we know that pesticides is a very strong link. So, you know, certain toxins obviously play a major role into the thyroid, and it is very sensitive. The blood flow into the thyroid is so great. It's probably another reason why it's so bombarded by toxins. And the receptors, like I said, have an attraction to it. So toxins in the thyroid, big connection.
Mm-hmm. And how about the adrenal glands as well? Is there a connection there with adrenal dysfunction and fertility issues?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the adrenals, when you look at how the adrenals produce cortisol, and cortisol, there's a major cortisol disruption really affects our anxiety. It affects how we sleep at night. It affects our energy levels during the day. Cortisol help, you know, if cortisol is elevated, you actually start to store fat. I mean, if cortisol's low, we have a loss of energy. So cortisol plays into really the whole hormone cascade because it is a stress adaptation hormone. We know that if you overstress the body anyway, even increase in physical activity, it affects cortisol. And therefore, we know that women that exercise too much or get under a lot of stress can actually lose their period. Okay, so I don't have to get into the nuances. If you lose your period, you're not going to have babies, right? You know, so you can see there's a very strong connection, you know, with women who exercise too much. That's basically just a lot of stress that you're not adapting to. So any stress, physical, chemical, we've been talking about that, emotional, affects cortisol, the adrenals, the adaptation, and therefore for infertility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's huge too, just kind of in the natural health world as well, with just, you know, the focus on eating very well and exercising a lot. It's like anything, it can be taken to the extreme. And for some women, if you are exercising too much and not eating enough, or just your body weight gets too low, your body fat gets too low, that's clearly going to affect your fertility. But there's also a lot of other, you know, issues that are caused as well when you're not having your period and your hormones aren't functioning properly. So I think, you know, that's an issue in the community that isn't always talked about a lot, but definitely needs to be addressed, because it's really important to have that monthly cycle and to maintain proper hormone balance for the rest of your body to function well. And because some people look really good, and I think that's a challenge for some women. They look at other women and women on magazines who are just super, super lean, and think that they have that perfect body, but, you know, oftentimes maybe they aren't getting a period, their hormones aren't balanced properly. So it's really, you know, not always, you know, what it appears to be sometimes.
Let me just piggyback on that subject as another causative factor that people don't think about. You know, when the low fat craze was in, well, I think it's still in. I mean, if you turn on any channel, they're still talking about low fat, low calorie menus. Well, guess what? Low fat and low calorie both can cause infertility. You know, fat is at the top of the hormone chain, right? So we have, and the most important of all is cholesterol. So, and that's, oh gosh, cholesterol, that's the demon. Well, cholesterol turns into progesterones, you know, and then if you understand how that works, progesterones then can go down into adrenal hormones. Can go over into anabolic hormones like testosterone, DHEA, all really important for libido and infertility. You know, so then of course it can go into estrogens. So, you know, I mean, at the top of the hormone chain is in fact cholesterol. So, you know, women on low fat diets are notorious, you know, to end up in infertility just because they're not making enough hormone. But there's many other links, because cholesterol also stabilizes the cell membrane, which is where the hormone receptors are. You know, so, and, you know, we need cholesterol. We need them for these hormones that we need to be fertile, and they need to be, have libido and feel good and anabolic and heal, you know, which helps us recover. I mean, the list goes on, but fat plays a big role. Low calorie. When women just stop, they keep pushing food away and try to restrict, you know, again, they end up not having their periods. They end up, you know, really dysregulating a lot of their hormones. So low calorie diets, another really bad idea if you're, you know, trying to get pregnant, or forget it, if you're just trying to have normal hormonal, you know, function, bad idea.
Yeah, huge. And one kind of piggybacking on the food component as well, can you talk about digestive issues and the gut and how that can kind of be connected with fertility or infertility?
Well, look, I mean, obviously we talk about the gut as driving autoimmune, right? And autoimmune can affect infertility in so many ways. Like I said, even just attacking the sperm, even just attacking the egg, the follicle. I mean, there's so many things that can happen with autoimmune driving infertility. And again, people say, oh, I was tested for autoimmune. Listen, you know, autoimmune, the testing is in the Stone Ages. You know, we so many people are autoimmune, meaning your body's attacking, driving inflammation, and there's no tests. You know, it takes you years being in that state, you know, before you can actually even test for it. So you could be autoimmune and not know it. So many people are. Read my article, The Autoimmune Answer. You know, put it in the article, search autoimmune answer, and you will come up with it, and you should read it. But I was going down another road. Oh, the gut. So the microbiome, this is more of a new idea of something that affects infertility. So we have this whole array of all these bacteria, good and bad, that make up our microbiome. Well, what we've learned is that these bacteria, which outnumber our cells 10 to 1, we realize that humans were human because of these bacteria. These bacteria actually share information with our cells. Matter of fact, we don't make certain cells without the communication of these bacteria, you know, to our cells. I talked in the past about autoimmune, how without certain bacteria, we don't make certain immune cells that tell our immune system to back off, and that's the connection to autoimmune. But we don't make certain brain chemicals and in certain things without having certain bacteria, or when they get in too low a number, now we're not making those neurotransmitters, you know, those certain hormones. So we cannot be hormonally normal if we don't have a normal microbiome. And again, it's not about folks just going out. It's not so simple as just taking a probiotic. Matter of fact, I would argue most patients, okay, today take fish oil, vitamin D, and a probiotic. Okay, I'm telling you, every client that comes to me, you know, I would say at least half of them are on those three. Those three just happen to be the three that can actually make you more unhealthy. Fish oil puts you in omega-3 dominance. Most of it's rancid anyway, but let's say you're lucky enough to get a good one. If you've been on it for, you know, any length of time, it can actually make you more omega-3 dominant, which actually destabilizes the cell membrane, affects your hormones, etc. So not a fan of unbalanced fats, right? I love fish oil when it's in fish. You know, and, you know, great, we can utilize it if we're balancing it with other fats, but most people are staying away from cholesterol and saturated fat, which actually help balance it. That's why it's in fish. You know, that's why it's in grass-fed animals. You know, it's meant to be there with those fish oils. But anyways, and then we have vitamin D, which most people take vitamin D without other fat-soluble vitamins. We've talked about this on past shows, without vitamin K and vitamin E and vitamin A. And what happens is you throw yourself way out of balance with that, and that leads to even cancer and hip fractures and all these things. So before we thought it was the vitamin D and people were vitamin D overdosing. No. It has nothing to do with that. It's the vitamin D blocks the same receptors as the other fat solubles because you're taking too much. You have to have a balance, folks. And then probiotics, same thing. Everyone's taking the same probiotic. I say, how long have you been on that? Oh, at least a year. Ah, you know, you're throwing yourself out of too balance. I like to rotate these bacteria, you know, so you're not throwing yourself out of balance. And gosh, years ago I read studies on why rotating bacteria, not staying on one, works better than the type and the amount. Everyone worries about they're taking this slick new probiotic. No, rotate is the best. So anyways, so it's not the answer. We need our microbiome well. We need to be eating foods, you know, that feed our good microbiome, good fibrous foods. Obviously, vegetables do that and other fibrous foods, you know, but also fermented foods, you know, cultured foods, which since refrigeration, we really don't eat these foods anymore. So folks, you know, we need some of these fermented cultured foods in our diet that were been there for years, thousands of years, and now aren't. So, and of course, we talked about our Swear Gold fast, right, in the past. 4 days of Swear Gold whey water, it's called. Whey water fasting, it brings in all types of unique bacteria. We talked about broth fasts and stock fasts, starving down all bacteria, then re-inoculating know, using some of our strategies. So yeah, I mean, a microbiome equals good hormonal health. That's the bottom line. And many people are infertile because of a dysbiosis or an alteration in their microbiome. So new studies on that, a lot of new information on that. But one more thing to consider, you know, if fertility is a problem.
Mm-hmm. And I guess you like to incorporate fasting when fertility is an issue?
Yeah, you know, maybe it's one of the things that I do with these clients because we do so much intermittent fast, right? Maybe it's one of the things that's, you know, leading to this, you know, so many people that end up getting, you know, getting pregnant when they become a client. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's a combination of everything, but I guarantee you that's part of it.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. All right. So, well, we've talked a lot about these different issues that that impact fertility. Talked about blood sugar imbalance and toxicity issues, immune challenges, thyroid and adrenal dysfunction, gut issues. Now, how about kind of some other conditions too that can impact fertility, like PCOS? That's something that is very common. A lot of women are struggling with today. So could you kind of talk about how that's connected to infertility?
Yeah.
It is. Maybe everybody doesn't know what it is.
That's right. Well, polycystic ovarian syndrome, basically what it is this, you know, you get a hormone, you know, dysregulation, if you will, and women start producing too much, I don't want to just say testosterone, but oftentimes it's more toxic types of testosterone. There's something called 5-alpha reductase that when it's elevated, this particular enzyme, men start making toxic testosterone, DHT, we've heard of these things. But so what happens is they can start losing their hair and even develop prostate cancer. So we know this connection with these toxic testosterones causes hair loss, prostate problems in men, but in women it causes PCOS. So, and oftentimes they start getting hair on their face. They get massive disruption in their cycles. It's problematic, obviously, even in infertility, and it's linked to infertility. So we like to do, Meredith, a 24-hour urine hormone collection where we collect the urine for 24 hours. And then that gives us a whole visual. I don't know. I probably have one that I could grab to show you. But if I get a second, I'll grab one just to kind of show. But it gives you a whole visual of the hormone cascade. It's very accurate, very reproducible. And it really is the best reflection of someone's whole hormonal status. Now, saliva hormones can be good when we want to target what's going on in that day, right? Or the cycle, you know, saliva hormone can be good. And I mean, blood hormone has a role as well. I think, you know, when you look at all of it, sometimes you can get the best picture. But all in all, the 24-hour hormone test is the best. And we like to use Genova Labs on that. I'm teaching more about this test and how it relates to a new product that we're launching with Systemic Formulas. And we'll be having that product in a few weeks. So, but it's really dialed into a lot of the problems that we see in so many women, test after test after test. We really targeted this particular formula. So please don't call for the formula yet because it won't be there for at least 3 weeks. So, but when Meredith will know when it's there, right? We'll have to make
it. I'll keep you posted.
Yeah, we'll have to do a quick video. But you know, there's forcing the hormones, you know, with a hormone. And sometimes that's necessary. I mean, sometimes, you know, a bioidentical hormone is used as a crutch. But, you know, what we call phytotherapy, you know, our relationship with plants has, you know, been a very amazing relationship for thousands of years, you know, but it is a really amazing relationship. And we've lost a lot of the relationship with a lot of different types of plants and herbs that really produce something called phytoestrogens or phytochemicals. Phytoestrogens, that's not estrogen, folks. It's just certain chemicals in plants that are natural that we used to get a lot in our diet. They attach to the receptors to, for example, estrogen or progesterone. And what happens is that the body feels like it's, you know, getting its message. So it creates a reaction into the DNA. And we're not having to get a lot of hormone. So we're able to produce less hormone because we have these phytoestrogens, you know, communicating to our DNA, and it makes the body really happy. You know, I don't even think we completely understand how this unique connection, it comes. But I know this, we've lost a lot of this, these phytochemicals in our diet, in the relationship with plants has really been affected, especially in the last 100 years. And therefore it's affecting our hormones. So I think one of the best ways to balance hormones is using phytotherapy, but it just takes more time. Women don't take it and go, oh, I feel better. No, that you have to be very patient with it because it's more of a natural approach. But the best part is you don't get pushed in one direction. You're relying on the body's innate intelligence to really, set up this balance. But, it's a really neat subject, and I'm going to be teaching on it, but it really plays into infertility as well. Because it is, you have to understand what happens in a woman's cycle. Before ovulation, estrogen is rising up and it's building. It's building tissues, and that's what estrogen does really well. It's very anabolic and it builds up your tissues because, obviously before, you release your follicles, what's happening is that you just came off of your period. So you're rebuilding the tissue, right? Well, right after ovulation, the progesterone is released because of the follicles exploding and releasing more progesterone. So then estrogen starts to fall and then progesterone starts to rise. And then that leads to the teardown phase, which is the period. So you can see how delicate this is. And of course, LH and FSH are played in here as well, but right around that ovulation point. So we talked about the pituitary controlling those hormones, FSH, LH, and the hypothalamus. And then we talk about estrogen and progesterone, how the fats play in there, how toxins play in onto the cell receptor. My God, there's so much room to cause this disbalance. But phytotherapy can bring some sense to the estrogen-progesterone balance without having to try to force the hormones in one direction. So, that's probably another topic. Like you said, that's a whole other topic. But, I think that, with the whole, soy, there's some, bad estrogens and non-fermented soy that can really do some damage. But we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Phytotherapy is actually very, very useful. And I believe a missing natural connection in the food supply today.
Very interesting. We hear a lot about xenoestrogens, which are, the estrogens, those, artificial estrogens that are just surrounded, in our environment. They're everywhere. But the phytoestrogens, very different from plants.
As phytoestrogens go up, xenoestrogens effect on the cell go down. So xenoestrogens, where are we getting these things? Pesticides, organophosphates, right? Pesticides are ubiquitous in our food supply. We know that has a dramatic effect. They're xenoestrogens. So these guys, they're very strong. They drive estrogen, these chemicals, right? So unlike the plant estrogens, if you will, these guys are very, very strong. They drive hormones in the wrong direction. And here's the problem too, is we're also getting it from our water supply because people are taking so many hormones. So we're driving up hormones, negatively even from our water supply. So, I mean, this is all new too, there's many other things that PCB, all the plastics, all the pipes they're putting in, plastic pipes in the homes that carry water. That's why it's very important to have water filtration. These things, the PCBs, the PVCs, all these plastic chemicals are also xenoestrogens. So, look at what we're exposed to, and you think, oh my gosh, we just simply, we don't have a chance. We have to avoid these. But I think increasing your natural phytochemicals helps you balance and protect yourself against a lot of these xenoestrogens that we're all exposed to in much larger amounts than ever before. So chemical estrogens and plant estrogens. This is a massive problem and a big, huge cause of infertility. This is, some people think it's the biggest, the exposure of these xenochemicals that are driving things. It's, by the way, it's the number one reason why we think children are, going through, maturing too early, boys and girls. I mean, girls are getting their period at 12. And
younger, 8, 9 years old.
Mm-hmm. I know, right? Exactly. I'm talking averages, but yeah. It never in before in history have we seen that. You know, and my boys are going to kill me for saying this right now. You know, one of the things that they absolutely despise their mother and father for is because my boys didn't mature until 16. So literally, you know, 16 years old, you know, my boys were still going like, what's going on? Where's my tea? You know, it's like, you know, and, you know, I just had that conversation taking my about to be 16 year old to school. You know, I'm saying it's probably going to be another year based on your older brother. You know, Daniel 17, this summer was the first summer that, like, you know, Daniel, like, matured, put on muscle. I mean, you know, it's like, so my kids were late bloomers. Why? It's like, that's normal. That's the way it's supposed to happen. Kids are not supposed to go through that. You know, I mean, so my kids were competing against these boys that had muscles and chest hair and armpit hair, and they didn't. You know, it's like, so imagine that. But women, you know, obviously, you know, these xenoestrogens are the big link to early maturation. I mean, of course, what about, you know, all the dairy products, the meat, all the hormones, the meat, the dairy? I mean, xenoestrogens, massive amounts coming through conventional meat and dairy. You know, grass-fed meat, yes. Grass-fed cows, yes. Conventional xenoestrogens. It is causing infertility and massive problems that go along with hormone dysregulation.
Yeah, and we're just surrounded by all these xenoestrogens, all these hormones on a daily basis, and then we take more too. So kind of we can talk about the model too of like the replacement model of, you know, taking more hormones too. If your hormones get measured, they're low, just to take more hormones versus kind of focusing on the underlying cause. So it is crazy how not only are we so surrounded by hormones, but then we're taking more hormones too.
Look, PMS or perimenopause, you know, symptoms in menopause, perimenopause. You know, we know that most women today have this massive fall in estrogen, which is a big problem, right? But, you know, many people say, no, this is not just the lack of estrogen, but it is actually estrogen dominance that's driving this. So we know now that we can actually have estrogen dominance with low estrogen. I know that sounds like I just made a complete opposite statement, but it's these xenoestrogens that are causing the estrogen dominant symptoms, but our actual estrogen levels are actually really low, the good estrogens, right? So we're in actually estrogen dominance with low estrogen. You know, so once again, phytotherapy is a great answer to this because, you know, it blocks the estrogens. The body can function with much lower estrogen when you have the phytochemicals, the phytoestrogens from the plants and the herbs. So, you know, blocking the bad guys, making the cell feel happier with less amount means you don't go through this massive drop in estrogen and go, like, God, I feel like I don't want to live. I have no desire to live. You know, so, you know, this is, you know, this product that we've been working on for the last 6 months, you know, really has, you know, out of a lot of this research showing what's going on with women in perimenopause, in menopause, and why is it this horrible thing? In most, you know, countries, it's this, you know, amazing time of a woman's life. They become stronger. They become wiser. They become, it's such a good thing, you know, for them physically, prevents cancer. I mean, just, and yet, you know, here in the United States, you know, menopause is the dreaded, you know, 50s, you know, or early 50s, late 40s, you know, but.
Still on it. Yeah. There's a lot of just the challenges of menopause. So culturally, yeah, that's how we look at it.
It doesn't have to be. And, you know, and I think that, look, you know, go back and watch all of our previous shows, you know, when we, the five strategies, right? My gosh, wouldn't you say read those articles? I mean, if you're looking for, you know, just kind of generally what to do, the five strategies has True Cellular Detox, which I've been telling everyone, read that article, True Cellular Detox. It has the intermittent fasting. It has the glucose control. So, you know, there's five articles there and videos that, you know, is a great starting point for you.
Now, are there cases where you would suggest synthetic hormones, bioidentical hormones? Are there situations where that would be the right thing to do?
I think bioidentical hormone is the way to go. I think you're going to run into less trouble than synthetics, I believe. But, there is. I mean, you know, sometimes a hormone level can get so low that you need a crutch. But again, I think that, and it can be dangerous, right? I mean, you know, estriol, when we look at that 24-hour test, I find estriol too low in many people. It's the most protective estrogen, where estradiol is the potentially more toxic, but estradiol is good. I mean, we need it because it's the one that drives the libido. It's the one that drives, you know, even feeling well, but it can be, you know, it can be the more toxic of the estrogens. So yeah, we sometimes see estriol very, very low, which low iodine levels also play into estriol. So I like to go at it with iodine in some of the phytotherapy first. And if it's still not coming up, then there might be a good reason to use estriol. And women can go, oh my gosh, I feel so much better. you know, even vaginal dryness can go away. So yeah, sometimes you have to go in with a crutch, but we want to be upstream, you know, dealing with the problem, you know, if we're using crutches, knowing that this is not an answer. Doctors today, even alternative, make this the answer. No, no, no. You're never going to win the battle there, you know. You have to be upstream, you know, detoxing the brain, driving, you know, getting the toxins out of the hypothalamus, pituitary, bringing balance to the thyroid, the adrenals, you know, downregulating cellular inflammation, detoxing the cell. You know, that is the answer. I know it's not easy. I know you may have to hire a coach to do it because, you know, but my gosh, we hire coaches for golf to improve our golf game, for goodness sakes, and yoga instructors, who knows? But look, this is important stuff. You know, it's the real deal. We're not talking about the 10-day cleanse here, you know, at your health food store. True cellular detox is the real deal. Getting the toxins out of these endocrine tissues, off the cell, downregulating the cellular inflammation. Ultimately, detox is a cellular issue. And the answer.
Mm-hmm. Huge, yeah. Well, so then that kind of brings us to the second part. So we've kind of talked a lot about why so many people are struggling with infertility, the causes, the root causes of hormone dysregulation. Now we can kind of talk about some solutions. And if you just kind of want to share your overarching approach to fixing infertility, yeah.
Look at that. Let's see. I'm going to slide back and see if I can grab a quick test here. Maybe not. Dr. Papa disappear. Entertain them, Meredith, while I'm gone here.
Do a little dance. Sing a little song.
Something fun and exciting. Let's see here. I've got zillions of these things, but I can't. Okay. Here's one. Uh-huh. All right. I've got some gifts. I went away, but I come back. First of all, a heavy metal test would be very advisable. That's a heavy metal test, okay? There's no perfect heavy metal test, but when you do a challenge the right way, which we train our doctors to do, you know, this would be a really smart place to start, considering, and I didn't even talk about lead and other metals. You know, cesium is a big infertility metal. We're seeing that elevated on so many people. You know, oh yeah, there you go. You know, my daughter actually has elevated cesium.
I remember when I did the test. I did too.
Yeah. So, and we're seeing that, you know, Fukushima is the big culprit there, we believe. Well, you know, scientists believe. So it's driving that. So that we see that more on people that live in the west side of the country, for sure. We're not sure what happened to you, Meredith. Might have been a lot of that. Some fish eating of yours, but
a lot of wild salmon, yeah.
But I talked about mercury, right, and the strong connection. I mean, infertility in dental offices is massive. I should have looked up the statistic on that before the show, so I don't want to misquote it. But it's really a big problem. I believe that dental assistants and women who work in dental offices have the highest out of any occupation of infertility. So that shows you the mercury connection. I said that. One fourth of all women with infertility have elevated mercury. I said one third men. So good, really smart place to start. And then this is the 24-hour hormone test. That all those arrows, that's the whole hormone cascade. Up here, if it were labeled, would be cholesterol. And then it goes into your progesterones. And then this is your adrenal function here, your cortisol levels. And then this comes over here. I can't show the name. I'm not. Okay, good. This comes over here to the anabolic side of things. all your anabolic hormones, your testosterones, right? And there's your DHEA, all play major roles in infertility. And then also then down here's your estrogens. If you can see right here, okay? If the screen is shaking, it's because that pesky little dog is back. It always does this when I have this here. See, rubs against it and the thing shakes. I want to just point out one thing. And I know I haven't completely answered your question yet, but I'm working on it. This test measures phase one and phase two estrogen metabolism. What that means is how your body gets rid of toxic estrogens. It does it in two phases. So we look at when this phase, this dog, I'm going to have to give her a boot here in a minute. So in phase one, we look at this 2-hydroxyestrone versus the 16-hydroxyestrone. And when that's out of balance, it puts women at a great risk for breast cancer, men at risk for prostate cancer. Very, very important. And it also drives infertility. Phase two is methylation, which we've talked a lot about. But when that is down into the red, you know, that's a big problem. And that leads it to many, many hormonal issues, imbalances, increases in cancer, et cetera. So, you know, very important when we look at not just estrogen, but its metabolites, meaning these things that are very toxic that our body has to get rid of. And this test shows that. So, you know, I think those two tests are very important just right off the bat. Mm-hmm. Reading those five articles, the five strategies to the best health ever, are really important. So what would they plug in to read those five articles?
So yeah, so drpompa.com, drpompa.com, and on the homepage there, you can click on the articles link, and that will lead you to the entire article archive, so you can see all the articles and read those top five strategies, because as Dr. Pompa said, they really, really play into this topic, as well as so many of the topics that we talk about, because they are just such foundational approaches to getting your health back on track.
Yeah, you know, and we touched on, I think, almost all of those. You know, even exercise, which is one of those articles, the right exercise for weight loss. But I think the importance here is, you know, doing the proper exercise, but not overdoing it, mm-hmm. right? And a lot of people that do a lot of endurance exercise, Meredith, they're the ones really at risk. So you see the women, you know, the aerobics instructors, this, you know, so they're the ones at really great risk, the long distance runner women, and they really are at greater risk of losing their period, infertility, and all that. But yeah, I think, you know, we brushed on all five of those strategies, but, you know, for more detail, read them. You know, we brushed on detox. Strategy five is true cellular detox. That's the article, which I think you should read anyway.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, I mean, listen, in general, eating all organic, you have to get away from the pesticides. You know, they're major culprits of xenoestrogens. I think whole house water filtration is very important, getting rid of a lot of these plasticizers that are xenoestrogens. You know, obviously protecting yourself from the water supply, which is not filtered out, you know, when they process the water, whatever county you're in. So you're getting a lot of bad hormones from the water you drink, the plastics from the water you drink, the chlorine, the bromides, all these things, the chemicals that we said are causative, you know, please, you know, even if you just got an RO unit, reverse osmosis at your point of service, that's huge. I recommend a whole house filtration unit. Dime Water is the one that I got mine from. And I think that they do a great job. But, you know, so, yeah, I believe, you know, filter your water. Eat all organic, please. Grass-fed meat, you know, free-range chicken. You know, I mean, that's. Look, I just took away these massive exposures to xenoestrogens just by doing those things, right? You know, yeah, absolutely. You know, and eating obviously more plants and herbs and different things in your diet, you know, is going to be helpful because we need those phytochemicals. So.
And lots of good quality fat as well, which is so important in controlling blood sugar, which, you know, is connected to insulin resistance and connected to all these hormone issues as well. So it's so important to control your blood sugar, which is strategy number one.
Yep. I mean, we gave them the answer. I mean, that's the answer. I mean, none of it's easy, right?
No.
You know, fermented products have a lot of these good phytochemicals in them, phytoestrogens. You know, even fermented soy is good. The fermented soy is much better. But listen, be careful with soy. because you know the problem is most of it's GMO, just like corn. You know, so if you get a good fermented organic soy, no problem. You know, but again, you know, these types of plants, hops, you know, I mean, how much of us, you know, are eating these types of herbs and plants on a daily basis? And, you know, we don't do it as much. So, you know, a little support there, I think that the, is really useful. That's why I really love this product, because, you know, it's not forcing the hormones in one direction. I think, you know, females just wanting to be healthy, taking a little bit of this product is just really, you know, bringing back to what we used to have. And that was a better relationship with plants. And we're really missing that today. So, yeah, I mean, I think this is keeping it simple. There you go, right there. That's the answer.
Well, yeah, and speaking of herbs, too, how about some supplements? Do you have kind of specific supplements you recommend, along with changing the diet, proper, you know, true cellular detox is obviously a massive component. Fasting, like we talked about, but do you have kind of some particular supplements you recommend that would be really supportive of hormone balance?
Obviously, waiting for the new one to come out. But, you know, listen, the core cellulars, you know, when we look at these, like I said, my clients who are getting pregnant, we're not trying. I mean, you know, they're always on some of the core cellulars at different points in their program. You know, so, I mean, the core cellulars, why? Because this is a cellular issue, folks. This is a cellular issue. So absolutely, you know, the core cellulars, just to kind of broad blanket it. There you go.
Yeah. I was thinking of one of the products, too. I know you use DIM, Avail, which helps to remove excess estrogen from the body, right? So that kind of came to mind, too, that might be supportive.
Yeah, absolutely. So when this particular ratio is off, this 2:16 ratio, which so many people it is, then we actually use DIM as one of the things to help move it in the right direction. Cruciferous vegetables is really where DIM comes from, right? So again, it's that relationship with plants that helps the estrogen so much. So absolutely help. You know, if you juiced a lot of green juices and things, you know, that could be that, you know, that would be helpful too. But DIM is definitely one, and we sell it at the office, DIM, if you're wondering what we're talking about. So in iodine. You know, we talked a little bit about iodine. TMI is the one that we use that has the balance of iodide and iodine, which they work differently in different receptors. So, but yeah, no, that's, you know, iodine plays a big role in hormones. So does selenium, which is in Mohr's, active selenium. So, you know, yeah, absolutely. I mean, to add to the core, you know, absolutely, you know, iodine, you know, potentially DIM. So there you go.
Yeah.
Good suggestion.
And if you're listening and interested in any of these products, we have them online at revelationhealth.com, or you can give us a call at 888-600-0642, and we're happy to give you some product support and assist you if you're interested in those products. So awesome. Well, we talked about the problems, and then we've talked a lot about the solutions.
And Meredith, yeah, I have to say this, you know, Meredith's been on the show a lot. You know, she's got great reviews, and a lot of these shows ideas are Meredith's ideas. She talks to many of you. I mean, honestly, she talks to many of you, and she knows what you all want. So if you have a show idea for us or something that you want us to address, research, talk, you know, somehow, you know, email Meredith, and I don't know how the best way for them to get in touch with you, Meredith, but, you know, you know, she really brings a lot of the ideas. That's why I like to bring her on. You know, I'm sure you guys, we'll bring Warren back on, and David, you haven't seen him in a while, and Phil Kaplan always loves to come on. So we'll, you know, we haven't ditched those guys completely. It's just so many of these topics, Meredith, though, you really love. And, I couldn't imagine doing so many of these topics without you. So, you know, when she has a great idea, I love bringing her on. And I know I just got an email yesterday, maybe the day before, so this week, I'll say. Just, you know, and Meredith's great, by the way. I love Meredith. So you got major thumbs up. So good stuff.
Oh, thank you. Well, I'm so grateful to be able to be here with you and with all of you. And I always learn so much during these shows, as well as I know all of our listeners do as well. And if you have show ideas, you can definitely give me a call at 888-600-0642, or you can email me, Meredith, M-E-R-E-D-I-T-H, at drpompa.com, drpompa.com, and just we're happy to bring the topics on that you guys care about. So let us know, and those can be future shows. So awesome.
Awesome. Thank you, Meredith. All right.
Thanks, everyone. Have a wonderful weekend, and we'll see you next week.
The information shared on today's show can be accessed through our websites, drpompa.com and revelationhealth.com. This Cellular Healing TV episode and past shows are also available for download on iTunes. Help others get real health solutions by liking, reviewing, and sharing our podcasts.